In this week's parasha, Parashas Kisisa, the Torah says, "Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo, you shall not cook a kid in its mother's milk." And the Gemara in Chulin Kufiyat Gimel explains, a kid doesn't literally refer to a kid goat, like we use equivocally, but rather it refers to any domestic animal, because if the Torah specifically meant izim, goats, it would say gedi ha'izim like it does in other places. The fact that it simply says gedi over here teaches us that it really refers to all domestic animals, such as cow, sheep, goat, but not chayer or oaf, at least according to the way we paskin, that it wouldn't mean fowl meat or deer meat, for example, or a non-kosher animal, horse meat, camel meat, and rather it's referring to all domestic animal. And the Rambam explains, why does the Torah specifically say chalev imo in its mother's milk? And we're really saying, the Gemara explains, that it doesn't literally mean its mother's milk. Even if you would cook a lamb chop in cow's milk, it would also be included in the prohibition. But rather, Dibra Kasav Behove, rather, before we had things produced on a grand scale where you could go into the store and buy a piece of meat for Omaha and have a glass of milk from Iowa, it was from your backyard. The piece of meat which is in your backyard typically would be cooked in its mother, the one who is the milk-producing cow's milk. And that's the reason that Torah uses that language. The Gemara explains as well, on Kuf Tezvav, Amabez and Chulin, that there's really three prohibitions when it comes to basav v'chalav. Because the Torah says, Lo shavashel gedi b'chalev imo, in this week's parsha, Parshas Kisisa, but already said it in Parshas Mishpatim, and we'll say it again in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Re'ei. And the Gemara expounds that the reason for this is because to tell us that there's an Isra Achila, there's an Isra Bishol, and there is, as well, an Isra Hana, there's an Isra to benefit. And the reason, the Rashba, it's quoted in the beginning of Sim Pezayin and Shulchan Aruch, says that the Torah uses Lashon Bishol, which is really a large discussion. One reason the Rashba writes is because Derech Bishol Asr Torah, that even to benefit from it, is only forbidden if they are cooked together. But simply if they are mixed without heat, there would not be a prohibition on a biblical level, or even on a rabbinic level for that matter, to benefit from this mixture. Although to eat it, even if it's not mixed together through heat, may be prohibited. Now I'd like to begin with the following discussion, which is the Gemara discusses on Kuf Yud Gimel. Now let's say someone cooks nevela, non-shachted meat, animal that shechita was not done to, was not ritually slaughtered, and it is cooked together with milk. So there's a discussion called Ein Iser Chal Iser, that one prohibition cannot be placed onto another prohibition. In other words, if one's already prohibited for eating this piece of meat because its shechita was not done to it, will there be an additional prohibition? Will there be an additional set of lashes due to the fact that one is also being over transgressing the prohibition of eating basar and chalav together, eating milk and meat together? And the Rambam paskins ultimately that one will not get an additional set of lashes due to the fact that they ate basar and chalav together. And there's a discussion in the later Achronim, is Ein Iser Chal Iser simply just a patur for onshim? Is it simply that you're off the hook for the punishment, but essentially you were over, you did transgress both Isurim, which is the way the Prima Gadam learns. However, Rav Shimon Shkab, in the beginning of Dharma, Rav Chanan Wasserman, and Kovet Tzaris, they understand that essentially there is not two Isurim, there are not two prohibitions over here, and rather there's only one prohibition of Nevela, and the prohibition of Basav Chalav is not relevant when there's an already a pre-existing prohibition of eating it due to the fact that there was not Shechita done. With that in mind, the question is, can one benefit from this mixture of cooked nevela, cooked non-slaughtered meat, which is together in milk, and feed it to their dog? So the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos in Krisis says, what he refers to as the Nekudin Efla, that if there's no prohibition of eating it, then the Isser Hana does not apply. And he brings a proof for that, which we're not going to discuss right now. And based on that idea we just mentioned before from Shimon Shkab and Rav Chanan Wasserman, that's easily understandable because we're saying that essentially the prohibition, you don't stack prohibitions. If it's already prohibited for Nevela, then the prohibition of Basar V'Chalav does not apply to this meat at all. And therefore the Rambam says, being that the Hana is almost secondary to the Isra Achila, therefore being that there's no prohibition of eating this because of Basar V'Chalav, because there's already a prohibition of eating it because it's not slaughtered, because it didn't have Shechita, therefore the prohibition of benefiting, it would not apply. However, if the idea of that you cannot stack prohibitions is simply because in regards to punishment, but essentially the second prohibition would be there, then this Rambam would be more difficult to understand. The Dagam Revav in Shulchan Aruch rules that B'makom Hefsid, where there's a great loss, one can rely on this Rambam, because he says it's not clear if everyone agrees to this Rambam, but he does say that B'makom Hefsid, where there's a great loss, one would be allowed to rely on this Rambam, that the prohibition of benefiting from Basar V'Chalav does not apply in a case where there's already a pre-existing prohibition from eating from it, such as where it's an Avela, where there's no Shechita done to this animal. The Chassam Sofer, quoting the Pesachei Teshuva over there in Sim Pei Zayin in Shulchan Aruch, writes that he disagrees with the Dagam Revava, even where there's a great loss. And if someone would come to him, he would certainly tell them that. But he says if someone ultimately does go with the Dagam Revava, authored by the great Noda Behuda, we wouldn't shun him because he has on whom to rely. The Dagam Revava ruled like the opinion of the Rambam. But it seems like the consensus, the Badei HaShulchan says like this, certainly we should try to follow the opinion of the Chassam Sofer that we shouldn't even benefit from meat and milk, which was cooked together, specifically cooked together, if even if there's a pre-existing prohibition that it wasn't ritually slaughtered in the case of benefiting from it. And therefore, if one has dog food, which even if it's not from ritually slaughtered meat, it's from a cow which was shot dead, which is cooked together with milk, it seems that one should try not to benefit and not feed it to their dogs or their animals. And the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council, actually has a list, which would be important for anyone who is buying dog food to be aware of, which is where they discuss which dog foods contain basar and chalav, meat and milk together, and they give direction in order to avoid this prohibition.